Hi, this is Lance from the Digital Experience Podcast, and you're listening to Rob and Dana Greenlee from the Web Talk Radio Show.
This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcasts group. Find out more about this show and others at techpodcasts.com. Tech Podcasts. If it's tech, it's here.
You're listening to Web Talk Radio at webtalkradio.com for April 30th, 2005. My name is Rob Greenlee, and we appreciate you tuning into the show. We've got a great show for you lined up today.
I'm here again, too.
Yes, Dana.
We're joined, our little trifecta of enthusiasm in this room. T. David is back. He was on a few weeks ago. He's the most energetic fella I know. Let me just tell a little bit about you. He runs the site makeyougohmm.com. We'll talk more about that soon. He's a radio show host. He does Script School Radio. And, he's the longest running known adult webmaster education radio show on the internet, which is interesting. And I did say adult as in
mature.
Mature XX kind of thing. But he's a programmer. We're going to talk to him a little about that, too. You can find him at tdscripts.com. His name's T. David. Welcome to the show.
Yeah,
T. David, thank you. Thank you for having me back. I figured I wouldn't be invited back again.
So no.
After I burned up the 91-minute show marathon.
Longest show ever.
Well, we had some listeners write and say that was a long show, but we also had a lot of listeners that wrote and said that it was great to have that level of detail and that level of content from us. It was refreshing to them.
The Sony PSP, the minute it was out, the hour it was out, you had it here demoing it, didn't you?
Oh, yes. I like to be on the cutting edge on these things. I get a rise out of going to the launch day of things. That's exciting.
And today was a launch day. We'll talk about that in a second, but just tell them what you bought today.
I've got the box right here. You can't hear the box, but a Tiger OS X 10.4 is right here.
Tap on it.
It's really there. I know you can't see it, but it's definitely
this
there.
This box is special. This is a special box.
There's a story behind that.
Oh, very much. There's a story behind that.
So that's the new OS for the Mac.
Yes. Okay. Worship the box.
It's a very nice looking
You
box.
Actually worked pretty hard to get that box today, didn't you?
Oh.
And there's a whole story behind that, and we'll definitely get into that.
Yes. I'm going bananas, literally, thinking
and
about the box.
We're also going to find out from you, I think, some of the things that you've talked about this past week on your blog, which is, from what I understand, growing and becoming very popular online.
It's been one for a long time. It's not just growing.
It's always growing, right?
Very popular.
Yeah, we got slashdotted again our second time. This time wasn't by me. I was a drop in slash. I submitted my own article, so doesn't count as a slashdot, I don't think. The second time, somebody mentioned the site on their own. I didn't know who it was. I don't have any. And, that was nice the second time.
You got tons of visitors?
That was nice. Yeah, well, I was looking at the stats, and, they spike out. And at the same time, coincidentally enough, we got news dotted. I'm just using that phrase. The St. Petersburg Online in Florida listed one of the articles, referenced one of the articles. They misspelled it, which I mentioned to you.
Yeah, yeah.
Makes you go, hmm.
Yeah, they put an S in there, but.
But it caused you to go get a new domain name.
It did. Yeah, and I learned that trick from you, and I want to thank you, Rob.
It was totally by accident, though.
I do want to thank you for that, because you helped me in the tune of about 5,000 unique visitors stop by my site because of you making that spelling.
We misspelled his website. But
well, I'm sure it'll help you again in the future.
That was wonderful. Thank you very much.
It's totally by accident.
Rob, we're going to have another conversation on the show a little bit later, too.
Yes, we're going to spend a few minutes on the phone with Dean Savalas, who's the writer of Lycos 50 at 50.lycos.com, and he's going to tell us about the people and topic keywords that are going to his site and really kind of giving a glimpse into what people are searching for online through Lycos.
The three of us are going to hit on some top news and trends from this week. What's one of them, Rob?
The Tiger OS gets released at 6 p.m., and the question is, why is that?
Apple sued over Tiger's name.
And T. David, of course, like we mentioned, is going to tell us what's so cool about the Apple Tiger OS.
Why is Microsoft dropping desktop search in new Windows OS Longhorn?
And the debate rages on a new name for video blogging.
Terrestrial Radio Broadcasting launches a podcast-only radio station.
And our net illiterate parents failing children.
And a survey shows that TV for mobile phones is set to reach masses.
Does MSN Search favor Windows Server-hosted websites?
And we also got a listener email. Toby wrote us and basically exposes what the Web Talk has been doing on the show.
Exposes, T. David. That's right up your alley. Well, let's jump into the topics.
Let's get into it and start talking about, T. David.
Big blocks.
Apple has released the Tiger OS, which has been the long-awaited upgrade to the Apple operating system. But one of the things that was kind of unique about this release was the fact that they had it set to release at a specific time on Friday.
Yes.
At 6 p.m. And, you know, I know we haven't even gotten into talking about what the upgrade will do for you and how wonderful it is. But you had an interesting experience trying to even get this box here, didn't you?
Yes, this fantastic box, which I also had next to the box. I have a book, a very thick book, 700 pages, which you could get the book before you could get the box, which is an important part of the story. But, yes, I called them. I figured that I was going to spend this weekend really just going under the hood of this thing in my EMAC. So I called the nearest store that we have in this area that I'm aware of that sells Apple products, which is...
The name of that store? Or your name for that store?
Well, the name of the store is CompUSA, but I've been coining them Incompetent USA. Anyway, I spoke to the manager, the sales manager. And I said, hey, I'm concerned about how many units you have of this Tiger OS X. And he says, oh, we have two boxes. That'll be 24. There's 12 to each box. And I said, okay.
Seems like a pretty small amount.
Yeah. I mean, I guess 12 could fit in a box, maybe.
Yeah,
I guess.
Pretty small box.
Yeah, I guess it would be kind of small. But so I said, okay, well, when should I go if I'm, you know, going to be able to get this? And he says, hey, if you're here by noon tomorrow, you should be just fine. You should be okay. By noon, yes.
Not six.
No, not six, no. six was never mentioned.
So you're supposed to sit there and wait for 6 hours before you can get your box,
well,
right?
Is that what he means. He thinks you could buy it at noon.
Well, I know.
Noon,
but
he said, if we should.
But that's what would have happened, though, if you would have walked in.
Well, I mean, so I'm saying, okay, well, and this morning was raining hard. I don't know out here if it was raining hard.
Oh, yeah, it was.
It was raining hard. So I moved my schedule around and I planned. I did ask him, I said, what time do you open? And we open at 9. I said, okay, I'll be there at 9 or shortly thereafter. I will be there. So I looked at my schedule and, you know, I knew we had your guys' deal here to come later today. And that wasn't going to be any problem to go at 9 in the morning. So I got in the car. And on the way over, I mean, it was just terrible, terrible weather, raining weather.
We live in Washington.
Yeah, it was bad this morning. Anyway, got there. The doors were open. Walked in the back. I didn't see any Tiger boxes out on the shelves. I that was my first hint that
the sweat breaks out at this point.
Now I'm starting to get the launch day shakes that maybe somebody had already somehow come in and bought the whole 24 before I had even got, I mean, because it was like 9:15, 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. Maybe there was a rush of people. So I see a guy back there fooling around with boxes. Where's the Tiger, man? I said, you know, where is it? Well, that's not going to be out till 6 o'clock. We can't sell those till 6. And
then after you woke up on the floor.
Cramped your style. It kind of cramped your style at that moment, didn't it?
I was walking around like a zombie, I think. Dawn of the Dead, have you seen that movie? I mean, I think I made them look proud in that movie. This gal, nice gal, name of Nancy, came up to me and said, can I help you, sir? You know, obviously, I looked distressed. And I said, well, I explained the whole story. I explained it to you. I said, well, let me go in the back and see what I can do. So I assumed she went in the back and talked to somebody. And long story short, they couldn't do anything for me this morning. They couldn't move the they could not move this. And then she even made the statement, we can't even show you the box, which is why I was making jokes of what was so special about this box. Because if you go to apple.com, it's the same X. It's a big gray X on a black background with the Apple thing. And as Rob had pointed out earlier on the top, it says designed and engineered by Apple in California. This box is not anything special.
Where else would it have been designed?
But as I'm walking out the store, I did say, but by the way, I can buy this 700-page book, which tells me everything about what's inside the box, but I can't see the box.
That's right. It's a big secret.
So moving on, I asked to get information for their district manager or district office so that I could get a second, because they wouldn't even let me buy it and then earmark it in the back so that I could come back at 6:15 or 6 o'clock or 6:30 or what. Because we had this meeting originally scheduled for 5:30 for me to be here, and I didn't want to call and reschedule you. It was not fair to you guys. So anyway, they wouldn't do that. They would not even do that. In fact, the gal wrote down on a piece of paper, which I just pulled out of my pocket here. Nancy wrote down, cannot pay for Tiger and pick it up at 6 p.m. And actually signed it for me.
So, and you actually scanned that in. Go to makeyougohmm.com.
Yes.
And you'll see T. David, a picture of him holding up this note signed by Incompetent USA.
Yes. And I also got Dick Winters' phone number.
Dick Winters
is the region number. I know too much about CompUSA right
more
now.
More than you want to know, right?
I know way too much about CompUSA. But anyway, I called Mr. Winters' office, and I spoke to Reggie there, who was the administrative assistant.
You even know Reggie.
Yeah, I know Reggie. Oh, Reggie and I go way back. I got all kinds of notes about Reggie. And Reggie was not very kind to me. He wouldn't let me – I was starting to tell the story, and he wouldn't even let me, like, tell enough of the story to even make any sense. He would cut me off. Oh, you're that guy that was trying to buy Tiger early.
Oh, the word got out.
You're that guy that was in there trying to buy it early. And I'm like, excuse me, but your manager, your store manager – sales manager told me that I could come and I should come before noon to get it if I wanted to have a chance. Yeah. So that's, I did what I was, oh, well, it's all over the web, he said. And it's just
it's all over the web.
Yeah, it's all over the web. You should have known that. You know, basically, he didn't call me a dummy or anything like that, but he made it seem like I was just being completely ignorant. Yeah. And what am I doing bothering the store? What am I trying to pull?
If you're a customer.
Yeah, and it, you know, it escalated to the point where he would not take my information to even give to Mr. Winters, the regional. He said he's too busy.
Like all good
administrators. Did they ever wonder, you know, when you were talking to him, why there's this arbitrary time that this software was made available at 6 p.m.? What is it about 6 p.m. that the software had to be released? I mean, like you've said earlier when we were talking about it, most products like this that are released are usually released like at midnight or something like that on that day, and they're sold throughout the day instead of 6 p.m. That seems like an arbitrary time, so people can come in prior to that and get disappointed, just like what happened with you. And I think, frankly, it's an example of or possibly an example of Steve Jobs' kind of control. He's notorious for having this level of control on when things are released and how they're released and getting really really pissed off at people that don't follow his exact instructions, you know.
Well, the sad thing about it is instead of me today during my radio show earlier today live, I didn't. Instead of talking about the features, which we're going to get into in a minute, the features and the functionality and things, because I would have had a chance to explore that, I'm sitting here ranting about Incompetent USA and Apple and how stupid it is they have a time.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't be the only person in the planet that was confused by that.
So they didn't even get any PR. I mean, they got mentioned, but... You know, it's all negative stuff.
Yeah, it was basically negative PR is what they ended up getting because it – now, it is on their site. But here's the other thing that a listener brought up on my show earlier. 6 p.m. what? 6 p.m. Pacific time?
Good point.
6 p.m. Eastern? Somewhere when I went in this morning, it was 6 p.m. So why couldn't I go – couldn't I say, hey, I'm from, you know, Estonia or something, and it's now 6 p.m. there. Can I get the box?
So I think what they were hoping that they were going to create is this like this stampede of people waiting outside of the store, you know, in lines with tents, you know. I mean
that tickled me elbow or something.
Yeah, it's like a whole PR thing that they were hoping to get from it.
Well, and I was there at 5:30,
and there was no line.
There was no line. No. By the time 6 o'clock rolled around, there was probably 15 people there, and it. I mean, and they had told me there was 24 units. Remember I said there was 24? Yeah. It turns out there's a shopping cart full of these things that they wheeled out of the back room. And it was ridiculous. This guy, people are coming up to this guy 5 minutes before 6 o'clock, and they're saying, okay, where's Tiger? Oh, I can't talk about that for 5 more minutes.
Can't talk.
And this guy's looking at his watch. I mean, it's like, I can't do it. 3 more minutes before I can tell you anything. So, I'm pulling out this book I have here and pulling up the page on RSS and saying, okay, over on this page is RSS here, and what can you tell me about that? And Tiger, and he's telling me about it, but he can't talk about it. He can't even turn the screens on the computer on and have it until it's 6 o'clock on his watch. And then that was there was a another little debate. Some people were saying it was already 6 o'clock, and he's like, well, it's like, I mean, come on, what is this? Is there like an eye in the sky, or what is Big Brother looking down and saying, well, it's gonna be 5:59 in 20 seconds? We're jerking your Apple contract. It was the most ridiculous. I can understand midnight launch. I can understand a day launch. I don't think a time launch really makes any sense at all.
For a
video of this, he's like waving his arms around.
Well, it's very possible that a satellite up in orbit had a laser pointed bomb pointed to each of the retail outlets, and if they released it too early, they'd just shoot a bomb down and blow up the building.
Well,
it's very possible.
In a technical sense, if they RFID tag these, right? So that as they left the store or something, maybe it would set some alarm off, or maybe then that's how Apple is the Big Brother Apple is notified that somebody has actually purchased
their product.
Yeah, I mean, none of it made any sense to me. And then I call the district manager. What is it? And I call the administrative assistant. He never takes down my number. What does an administrative assistant do? Takes messages. He never wants to take my number. So how is he going to do anything to help me if he's not even going to take my phone number down? So it was one sequence of events. I couldn't talk to they wouldn't give me information to talk to their bosses. It was just,
So who's the bad guy here? Is it Incompetence USA? Is it Steve Jobs? Is it the Apple OS?
Well, I think I'm partly to blame that I didn't read the 6 o'clock time frame when the Grim Reaper comes to town and with the Apple, it's just, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's turned me off to time-based launches.
Well, and we've spent a lot of time talking about that, and we haven't said anything about the operating system.
There we go. Yeah.
Do you review it? You haven't actually reviewed it yet on your blog.
No.
But you will by the time this comes out, I'm sure.
Oh, well, there's one other important thing I want to mention, and I don't know if it'll be in time for your listeners, but maybe some of them couldn't get it at launch or whatever, but it's an important point to make that I didn't know about. Uh-huh. This thing's only in DVD format. If you have an eMac,
I know you told me this.
Like
this,
I do,
crazy.
I only have a CD drive in there.
Oh. Yeah.
So I can't even install the box.
You're kidding me.
On my computer, I can't take this home right now. I have to go buy a DVD, external DVD with Fire.
Me.
No, I'm not. It only is in DVD format right now. So
that's crazy. I mean, I can't imagine it's so big that it has to be on a DVD. I mean, it's nuts.
How, 4 gigs? I mean, software is usually like maybe, 200 megabytes or
Exactly.
Well, here's the funny thing.
I can't imagine.
I'm telling the guy, right? I said, okay, so this thing's only going to install on DVD, right? And FireWire. They don't have any DVD drives to sell me there. So I'm pointing to the eMac and saying, okay, so I can't just get any DVD drive, right? No, this thing's got to be bootable from the drive. So I don't even know if I go out and buy $200, $300, whatever it's going to cost for an external FireWire DVD, if it'll even work with my eMac and this to install. So this is by far not over.
No.
The story has just begun.
Yeah.
I mean, the box is only part of it.
The whole software is only $130 bucks, right?
Yes, $130.
But you're going to have to buy a $200-$300 external drive.
I'm pretty certain that the story I tell will be one that will be helpful for people in the same boat as me that have an eMac.
Sure.
Because I bought the least expensive.
Well, and it's only, 6 months old?
Yeah.
Something like that?
Yeah.
It's not like this old computer or anything like that.
Well, and it's an older model. I bought it 6 months ago, but it is an older model. But, I mean.
Still, it should be able to support.
Mac Minis,
it's not that old.
Mac Minis are just this machine. They don't come with don't come with any drives. It's just the machine. So those people that have Mac Minis are going to have the same thing as, okay, which drive can I plug in that will work to install? I mean, so I thought that was important to mention as a feature, number one, if you can't get to the features, if you can't even install it. So,
well, that's a real.
And you probably can't even return the box once you've, sliced it.
Well, I haven't broke that magic seal yet.
Would you have known? I mean, if somebody else didn't know.
Well, this is the beauty, I guess, of having a group of people there. One of the guys said, hey, I got a programmer friend. He already got this. So he must be East Coast. So the 6 p.m. must be related to...
Well, it's the local time, I suppose.
Yeah, it must be a local time, 6 p.m. So I just should have said, I'm from Ethiopia. Come on. I want my box. I flew all the way here.
All I do is look at my watch. It says 6 o'clock.
I flew all the way here to get it. And you know, give it to me now. Yeah. You know, it didn't.
So, well, let's talk a bit about the features of it and why this thing is such an important upgrade.
Well, they've done a lot with RSS, and that's the main motivator for me to want to get into this. Is the Safari upgrade is supposedly 1.8 times faster than what it was on. And Safari was always kind of a little bit slow.
Mm-hmm.
Keep in mind, I'm using the low end Emacs, so somebody with a high end G5,
they're going to be smoking on this one.
Yeah, they're going to be just rocking and rolling with this. They've added a bunch of different great. Interesting enough, as I'm talking to this on the show, Zinio is sending me the new version of Macworld. Coming right in. It's now coming in, the new Macworld. I'm showing them right in there. It just came in while I was talking. You think that's a coincidence in time, maybe?
We're seeing it on
Steve Jobs knows what you're talking about right at this moment.
His flat screen tablet PC here that's it basically looks like a giant pocket PC. That's kind of what it looks like.
Oh, it's great. It's in landscape mode. Yeah. His tablet PC right now.
So they've also got...
it looks like a magazine in your hands.
It is, yeah. That you can read the neat thing about Zinio, and maybe another time. I don't know if you've spoken about Zinio on the program.
No, unaware of it.
You can search the magazine. You can annotate. You can mark it up. It's really neat. Zinio.com. Mm-hmm. And you can get PC Magazine. A lot of different magazines. They've delivered millions of magazines.
It's portrait mode, isn't it? I said landscape.
Yeah,
it's portrait mode.
Yeah, it's in portrait mode. You can see I turned the pages. It even has the little fold-out cards in them.
That is so cool.
So,
they fall out of the magazine?
They don't fall out of the magazine, okay. No. You can see me turning the pages here.
I love that. Flipping the pages is just like turning them.
Yeah,
it's
got
bends.
The ads and everything. Ads and everything into them. And really, I love this. Here's the thing, the reason why I like reading magazines, computer magazines, because the links are all clickable.
Yes.
So if you're on the internet, now think for a moment, you're on a plane, you're on somewhere, hey, I'd really like to check that website out. Oops, I don't have any internet.
Yeah,
turn
exactly.
Turn it off here, the page.
Yeah, you just kind of got to write a note or something. Yeah. But this, you just click on it, you're there, and you can bookmark it, and you're done.
Yeah.
So, anyway, sorry.
Much more interactive.
Yeah, sorry to go off on that. But I thought that was interesting while we're talking. It literally came in right there, the newest issue. Also, you get the issues sooner.
Mm-hmm.
So the newsstands are 2-3 weeks behind.
Well, it takes time to distribute it, ship it out.
Exactly. Exactly. I already have like the they go like 2 months ahead. I mean,
looking like June or
June. Month? I think June or May, end of May. I've got for PC Magazine already. I mean, it's not. You're way ahead of the curve.
You pay the same subscription price as a paper?
Same subscription price.
Do
either way. And you could switch anytime you want. You can go back and forth between the two.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So anyway, what particular drew your attention, Robin? What about features?
Oh, as far as features? Well, one of the things that I've heard all about and actually heard Steve talking about it, Steve Jobs, when he initially launched this a few months ago, was the whole Spotlight search aspect, the desktop search, which is which he demoed during the introduction at Macworld, I guess, down in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
And it really brought up files from your hard drive extremely fast, just by really simple search queries. And you know what was kind of fascinating about that is that, you know, most people from the fact that they've got tons of emails, they've got tons of instant messaging files in their machines, they have documents, whatever. It's difficult right now, at least in the PC environment, to actually find stuff quickly. I mean, I just rack my brain, especially I've got like I don't know, a dozen PCs or whatever, and trying to remember where everything is in every computer that we have. From a file standpoint, is really a difficult thing. And that was one thing I thought was really kind of interesting about this whole Tiger release. And and then what you talked about, too, with the Safari RSS support and blending RSS, which, I mean, a lot of these features are the features that Microsoft has said that Longhorn was going to have.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about that a little bit later.
Yeah, they had some barbs back and forth, Mr. Jobs and Mr. There was some barbs about copying and some allegations I guess made there. Look at that. Amazing. Think this is a coincidence? What's now that? I'm getting the new PC Magazine May 24th. I guess it was May 14th. This is amazing. This is amazing. Do you think this?
So, first the Macworld, now PC Magazine.
Now I'm getting the PC Magazine issue. This is incredible. I mean, it's incredible coincidence here. Do you think
there are no coincidences?
6 o'clock. Jobs must have known something at 6 o'clock was happening.
Must have been.
This must be a great time. They know people are computer.
Well, and also Windows just released their 64-bit operating system just this week, which is kind of interesting too as far as the timing of this, because the new Tiger OS is built on a 64-bit architecture.
I thought that was out a while ago. I'm talking about the 64-bit processor.
Well, the actual processors have been out for years.
That's
it's
what
just
I was
that they're, for Windows, there wasn't any operating system that actually ran on a consumer level desktop. Yeah. Like now you could get a 64-bit operating system for the server for the enterprise level servers, but you could not get it for your home PC. So you had all these 64-bit chips that have been sold by the chip processing companies, the chip making companies, but they've all been running 32-bit software for all these years. And so finally Windows has come out with a 64-bit operating system, but it seems to be interesting that it's timed almost the same week as when the OS X Tiger comes out, which is 64-bit.
Do either of you two geeks know what the ratio is of PC users and Mac users, since we spent 25 minutes talking about Macs?
I think it's about 5%.
That was the number I was going to say.
Yeah. Oh, my. Yeah.
5% Mac.
Apple.
Yeah, it's...
To 95% Windows.
Should have done it at 5 p.m., you know, to mark the number of percentage of users. Okay, maybe it is 6% now. I know we don't dedicate on our show very little to the Mac. I'll tell you, though, I'm kind of bashing on them a little bit. Mac makes cool stuff. If you go to the Apple Store... Yeah. Their bags, even the amount of detail they put into things, is astonishing. So I will give them a compliment in that. I mean, I've got their bag hanging on my wall near my computer because it's
their bag.
Their bag is like a beautiful white bag.
Yeah, it's like artwork almost.
Yeah, it's like something you wouldn't throw away. You know, a bag. You go to Best Buy, there's the plastic thing, and it's like a garbage bag or something. Not the Mac bag. This thing is stellar. I mean, it's nice. And you know, when they deliver the iPod, it's in a nice little cube, and you unpack it, it's so neatly...
You're such a consumer.
It's so deep, you know. I want to give them some props here. But this isn't really that impressive, this box that I couldn't see. This is under-impressive.
Looks like the DVD set for the X-Files with that big X on it.
It does.
It does kind of look like that, yeah. Well, yeah, I also heard that Apple's in a little hot water with another company over the naming of Tiger. Actually, they're being sued by Tiger Direct, which is a catalog reseller of computer equipment, is actually suing Apple for trademark infringement.
Yeah. And I understand that Mother Nature is also in on that lawsuit. They're tigers. Tigers.
What should they have called it? Lion? They're going to run out of felines, aren't they?
Well, it was Panther. Was it Panther? And... I don't think they had a leopard. I think they could have had a leopard in there, right? And they probably wouldn't have had any trouble.
I'm not a big fan of all these trademark and patents that seem to be just throwing around it on common words, even sometimes.
Well, yeah,
Tiger's a common word. Come on.
Well, it is. It's kind of like
come on
trademarking the word window or something like that.
There's got to be an end because there's only so many. What do they do? A study? There's like 30,000 or 40,000 words that you use in your average. I mean, eventually you're going to run out of those. They're going to all be patented.
Oh, they did back in 99 for the domain names. You're just like searching every little possible domain name.
Yeah, they're gone. And then what? Everybody's getting sued to everybody else. I mean, and there's companies, that's what they're doing, is just they take up businesses suing people.
Oh, yeah.
It's just, it's wrong.
There's a lot of money passing that way. Well, it also appears that Microsoft is moving away from desktop search, which is really interesting, the timing of this as well, because of this whole Tiger OS is built on desktop search. That's one of its key features that everybody was so excited about. But Microsoft appears to be looking at things from a little different perspective. They want to concentrate on how people organize their documents and find their documents, I think, through a file structure. And I'm not quite sure why they're moving away from the whole desktop search function, but it could just be that maybe they think that they've come up with a better way of finding things. I don't know. I'm a little dubious of this.
They've killed the dog. That's all that I'm mostly concerned about
the
it.
Dog.
The dog. When you did a search, the dog came up and tried to help you. And you'd wait for the dog to dial home to whoever he was, and it would take days for the search to return. That dog was the dog didn't hunt. Let's put it that way.
Well, there's been so many internet companies that have used that whole dog analogy.
The paperclip, of course.
Yeah, but the whole dog analogy. You know, I think Dogpile used the whole Arfy thing.
Why would he use a dog?
Lycos actually uses
best friend.
He
actually uses a dog to represent fetching of search results. So, whatever.
But yeah, they made it WinHack. They made a joke about that. Nobody laughed, so I think that's probably maybe listeners will laugh when it was said that, but nobody laughed at WinHack because of that slow search. So if they're getting away from it, then maybe that's good. Maybe that's a good.
I dare you guys to take a giant step away from the OSs for a moment. Talk about something different, like video blogging. I guess they're looking for a name, right?
Well,
a good way to sort of refer to
video blogging. For months now, there's been a lot of words thrown out there to describe video web blogging, video blog, video podcast, vlog, vodcast, or vodcast. I'm not quite sure.
Vlog.
All of these terms to describe a real basic thing is the download distribution of a
video
file.
Blog? It has to be a video blog, not just a video file. It has to be somebody talking about what's on their mind.
Well, it's the same thing as podcasting, and everybody immediately knows what podcasting is. It's an audio download, but this whole thing could be blurred over the next few months too, because there's been also a lot of talk about Apple coming out with a video playing device, not just audio.
So is there too many syllables for the American public to say video blog?
Well, I'm going to mention one word here. Anybody listening, if they do some searching, this is the reason I haven't done much video stuff. The word is acacia, and anybody wants to Google that, spend a little time on that.
It's patents. Patent issue.
That's why I have stayed away from video, and I will continue to stay away from video on a business sense until that whole mess is sorted out.
So that's where that company says they own the rights to anybody who's streaming. They own the technology of streaming, and they can sue you or something.
Well, it also applies to audio too. It's not just video.
It spooked me away because I know a number of large publishers that were sued on it,
and they've actually paid. I mean, there's been a lot of big
Who they targeted first was some of the adult sites because they figure they're easy prey. You know, you go into court. And,
well, they're going to where the money is, and that's the adult sites is where
a
lot of money.
An adult site,
exactly. Yeah, that's their. Yeah.
They're low hanging fruit is what they call them. Yeah,
exactly. But acacia is a word to study if you're needing to look more deeply into that, especially if you're going to commercialize it. Maybe I don't know if there's been, although there was talk about them going after some of the libraries even that were streaming stuff, which it spooked me away from videos. So I haven't really been. I watch Amanda Congdon's video. You know, it's 3 minutes. It's good, but I've personally kind of just stayed away.
Yeah, I think it's rocketboom.com or boomrocket.com. I can't remember. It's rocketboom.com.
Keepers, I'm all about the videos.
it's cool to watch.
It's
really
I've
cool.
I put them out
there really
like
cool.
crazy, but yeah. Yeah, I shouldn't.
Most people aren't going to have an issue with it. It's really the big media companies are the ones that they're really going after because that's where the deep pockets are.
I'm just concerned I build up a library of content. And then I get sued for having that content, and I've got to pay them a royalty on it. That's what I'm concerned about. I mean, most of my audio content is, you know, copyright us, you know, so I don't want to.
You strike me as a man with fear.
Well,
Mr. Incompetent Comp USA.
Well, no, I mean, I'm not, you know, I mean, it's a concern. It's a legal concern. And one thing you got to be careful of in business is you don't want to be tied up in a bunch of leaks. It's the cost to fight these things that break people. You know, it's the expenses to go to court to prove that you're right that break people, you know, break businesses. It's a lot of expense. So I didn't want to go legal on this. I'm not a legal expert by any means, but anybody that is really seriously wanting to get in this for business purposes, I would say to investigate that occasion, talk with your attorney and get some guidance, legal guidance to make sure, you know, don't want to be preachy or anything, but it's something that's to be concerned about.
Well, yeah, I would say that most of the companies or most of the people that are doing streaming that they're going to go after are people that have pretty deep pockets because they're not going to go after, you know, you or me that's making pennies off of streaming and thinking they can get a bunch of money out of us, because it's not going to be worth their time. So, but you still have to be careful, because you know, who knows how big the net could be. You know, I think we've all seen what's happened to the music file sharing industry. You know, the individual downloaders can get nabbed if you're doing something wrong.
They did go after the individual people, the RIA, suing the individual user. So it's
possible.
Yeah, I don't want to get all preachy and bring down this conversation. We'll get back to the OSX box here. But, because I'm not a big legal person either, but that's my own personal, business decision.
I totally agree. It's a concern.
Take away from it, but I love doing video, though. I made a little thing with the drummer boy thing on my blog, where if you go see it, you can watch
me. I've seen it.
Doing the drummer thing. I actually love to shoot video and do video stuff, but I don't know. I haven't figured out how I can do it, and maybe I'm too paranoid about
just
that.
Just do it.
Maybe I just do it.
Do it, man. Push the envelope.
Also, this week there was an announcement by a division of Viacom, and it's the Infinity Broadcasting folks have launched a radio station in San Francisco that's going to dedicate its airwaves to podcasts.
To the people.
Great idea.
Get the voice on the air.
So, T. David, have you heard about that?
Great. Yes, I did. I saw that article. Great. Great idea. I like it. I think it's
one
smart.
Big, big, huge conglomerates, though, like Infinity and
Clear
Channel.
Well, it's a big, big broadcaster.
Are doing this.
Yeah. Well, they think somehow that it's going to keep them ahead of the curve, and I'm not quite sure it actually keeps them ahead of the curve. But
understanding this is, just so people understand what this is, literally I'm a listener to that radio station. I can have my own podcast. They'll go ahead and put my show as part of their podcast.
Well,
is that right?
Yeah, what they've done is they've set up a website that you can go in and register at and upload one of your shows, and they'll actually review your show for possible inclusion and airing on this AM station. It's 1550 KYCY AM in San Francisco, and they may or may not air your show. One thing that a lot of people in the blogosphere have been a little concerned about is that the licensing agreement that they have, that when you submit your show to them, and you basically submitted your content to them, basically giving them all rights and all ability to play your show on the air without any kind of remuneration for you, so that they could conceivably, this is possible, they could sell advertising against your show.
But are they posting you still have to host your audio. Is that right?
No.
You upload it to them.
No, this is all being done off of a terrestrial radio station.
Yeah, I kind of like that, though, because, you don't care, if someone and it gets you out there.
As long as they're not yanking out your station, where you're calling back to who you are and your domain, I would think that's a great advertising thing. The podcasters could take the outer stuff, outer fillings, and assemble shows just for these. Purpose. It doesn't have to be their true full show they're doing.
Well, and that's exactly what some of them are doing. Is they're going to produce like maybe a condensed version of their show or something like that. But I'm not quite sure that Infinity really has a good handle on how this is all going to work. I'm not sure how they could schedule their station around random length podcasts, because very few podcasts have a fixed amount of length. Like when we went pretty much all podcasting ourselves or internet distribution, we don't lock ourselves into a particular 1 hour time block.
Thank God, the editing was horrible.
Yeah, and it saved a lot of time.
Well, it wasn't even an hour, right? Was it like you had commercials?
It was like 40 some minutes.
50-second blocks, and then you have to stop right at the second.
Yeah, so I'm not quite sure how Infinity is going to deal with that whole issue, and that's been one of the big differences. And I think in some ways, this is kind of taking a step backwards in a way. I think it could be good for the podcaster, but then on the other hand, if they're releasing all rights to their content to them, then, where's the benefit to the podcaster short of, I guess, some increased exposure? But then is Infinity going to come back and say, well, we need the show at a certain fixed length? And then it's going to add a lot more production time and a lot more effort on the part of the podcaster, and is it going to be worth it?
Well, by screening it, too, they can wrap all kinds of contextual, if you will, advertising around that. If they break it up in pieces or however they're going to do it. That's the editing part of it is what concerns me, is how they're going to edit that. Is it going to make it look like you're endorsing products that you may be – I mean, look, are they going to wrap me around CompUSA? You know, I mean, that would be my concern, because I wouldn't be advertising for them. I wouldn't accept them as an advertiser by the way I was treated as a customer. I would draw that line and say, no, the way I was treated, I don't want your money. I don't need your money, and I don't want your money. That would be, I guess, my concern with that arrangement. But, I mean, how many podcasters get the kind of listener power that any station –
it's all trade-off.
Any station would give them. Any true over-the-air – I mean, what do you get, 50,000-watt station or something?
The thing to think about, too, and we've been on as many as 12 talk radio stations ourselves, is that really the online distribution is not – I mean, for a lot of these podcasts, if you're getting maybe 10,000 listeners per show, that may not be a whole lot different than you get off of a smaller talk station.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, if you – you know, I've seen a lot of ratings because we work with other talk radio shows that say that your average cum for that particular hour is maybe like 8,000 listeners, and that would be on like a major talk station up in Seattle.
Well, yeah, wasn't it Como and Cairo? Or no, what was the other one?
Cairo.
KVI.
KVI. What was their listenership? And this is like big political talk, you know, and all this stuff.
Well, you were talking about like a weekend time slot, like on a Saturday at like noon or something like that. They have like a cum that they rate that particular hour up in the Seattle market. And Seattle, I think, is in the top 15 of the largest radio markets in the country.
And what was it?
And the cum was anywhere from 8,000 to 10,000 people listening at any one given time.
You get that more. I don't know if you want to share how many you have listening to your show on a per show basis, but it's probably more than that.
Oh, not on a per show basis, no. But you know, probably a month. We do, you know, with the archive listens and everything else, we probably come in around that, but not a show basis. No.
And what about you? What's the last time you looked at our stats and in either a per show or for online?
There's so many different ways that our show is distributed. I mean, whether it be podcasting, direct download, streaming, you know, we're working with Microsoft and their Sync and Go downloadable application. We work with the Audio Feast distribution. I mean, so all these different distribution points, but we've been as high as almost 1 million listeners per month, and that would be like
four shows,
about 250,000.
Yeah, that's significant.
Per show. And our smallest piece of distribution was our 12 talk radio stations.
Wow.
Which we just dumped because why bother?
That's fascinating.
Well, if anybody wants to upload their podcast for review anyway, go to this website. It's kyouradio.com.
Yeah, and I went to the site and kind of went through the process myself, and they didn't really give too much information about when they were actually going to start podcasting, but I thought they said something about May or something like that. So it's probably coming up next month here on when they're going to get something off the ground. But there's still a lot of questions around this whole thing.
The other part of this is that I like about this is that they're not doing like a lot of the news people were doing to bloggers in the beginning, which was like, oh, the bloggers, you know, those guys.
Oh, yeah.
They're actually kind of embracing this and saying, hey, this is, you know, podcasters. Maybe we want to take these guys seriously and join the crowd rather than, you know, fight against the, you know, the crowd.
The CEO of the radio company actually said that they're going to start looking at podcasters as almost like a farm league for talent.
Wow.
That's also assuming that the whole terrestrial broadcast is the cat's meow. That's where everybody wants to be, you know. Yeah. And in some ways, you know, I think if you look at the content that's coming out of podcasting, it's doing things that terrestrial radio cannot do.
Yeah.
And that's speak with an open voice, you know, can say pretty much anything. Mm-hmm. And not be censored, because once they get their content on a broadcast station, guess what?
Yeah.
They get the censor
drilling
down on them.
That does that liberal talk?
Yeah, Mark Levine.
Mark Levine does a great, huge following on online, you know, podcast, but is having kind of a hard time getting accepted because he's kind of a liberal.
Yeah, he's been getting a hard time getting his radio distribution built up because he's so extreme on the liberal side.
Art Bell is about as extreme as you get. He had a great following. Oh, it's the UFO
today.
He hasn't
been abducted yet, man.
Yeah, but the difference between Mark and Art Bell is that Mark actually attacks our U.S. government. There's a little bit of difference.
After the speech the other night where our president couldn't say, what was it, peninsula? He couldn't pronounce that.
Really? I didn't hear that.
Peninsula. He couldn't. I can't do a George Bush impression, but.
That's okay.
Nobody's listening for George Bush impressions anyway.
No, that's right. That's right.
All right, let's talk about...
Great segue, net illiterate.
Well, I guess there's a study that came out.
Illiterate,
This is a common sense study, though, but a study of the London School of Economics said that if parents don't get savvy with the internet, their children are going to suffer. Basically, if we have illiterate parents who don't understand how to use computers and stuff...
It's going to be pain and suffering for young people.
About 20% of the parents of students did not know enough to help their students about internet. To use the internet.
Well, you know...
And there's this big divide growing now with the kids that get it and don't get it.
Well, and also what this said, which is a little bit surprising too, is the fact that they were focusing on almost like safely using the internet. And it didn't really go into a lot of detail on knowing a lot about the internet. It was almost like how safely they're using the internet. That's what the focus of it was. And I'm not sure that that's really hitting the point here necessarily. But I think there's some clue here that there is a connection, I think, between the parents being literate with the internet and being able to help kids learn the internet. But when you really think about kids and computers, it's oftentimes the kids are the ones that teach the parents how to use the computer, has been my experience.
Yeah. Well, I know with our children, and I've sat down with them and explained to them. In fact, I just busted one of our kids with BearShare. We had the BearShare discussion. I said, I explained to him.
That's P2P protocol.
Yeah.
Wondering.
Yeah. Bear, I explained to him why the bear was not Yogi Bear. And, we've had this discussion about not downloading stuff, not clicking on internet ads. Stay away from anything that you don't know is. If parents aren't having that kind of discussion, they're just letting their kids go on the computer. It's like, going out at 8 or 9 o'clock at night when you're 10 years old or something with nobody. There's just weird people out there. You can't be that irresponsible to do that, to let your kids get on that machine. And who knows, it gets in some of this stuff, it gets in your network and then your network's all fouled up and it's just
And if any parent who's like leaned over the shoulder of their kid doing IM and see all the acronyms out there, that they don't understand, but there's some serious innuendos going on there, huh?
Well, and plus there's also a lot of adware and spyware that kids have a tendency to pick up in their computers. I know my daughter's computer basically got taken down by so much adware because of the different kinds of sites that teenagers go to, that is just flooded with these pop-up ads that try and download things in your computer automatically. And it basically took down our PC, and I had to reformat the hard drive.
I'm reminding of the terrible story of Columbine, where how could those parents not know these guys were building Doom WAD files and just into some really anarchy-type stuff? How could they not have had any idea? To me, it was just irresponsible parenting not to get into the machine. And I'm not saying the issue of spying on your kids is a real delicate.
Yeah, it is.
The balance there is how much you got to give them some privacy, but at the same time, you got to know what they're getting into. You got to look a little bit into where they're at. Well, who they're, and I'm not talking adult stuff because kids are going to do. When I was a kid, Playboy magazines or whatever.
They're going to do stupid stuff.
They're going to do stuff like that. I'm talking about going to hate sites and things that are just evil people are there and predators. And there's just the internet is not it's not just wide open, have at it. Mm-hmm. Some parents have to just talk to their kids, I think. I mean, that's in our family. That's how we try to. And even so, even after all my talking, I end up with our oldest son getting BearShare on our system. I had to. But what did I do? I went and bought him Napster and said, here, this is the proper way to do it. Go get all these Bear Share files off there, and you can go download to your heart's content, because with Napster for, what is it, 10
bucks
a month?
Well, yeah, it's a subscription service. It's all you can eat.
Yeah, it's a million. I said, son, you got a million songs here, and if there's a song here that you want that's not on here, you tell me. We can go look at iTunes or somewhere it is. That's the legal right way to do it, and that's the proper way to do it. Let's do it right.
I'm impressed.
And he came back 2 days later and said, I really want to thank you for getting me that Napster. I love it. It's great. You know, because here, the thing with those peer-to-peer services, most of them are crap anyway.
Yeah.
You may get a half-contaminated file. Who knows what's going on? It's not a good system anyway.
Well, and most time the audio quality of the songs that you get off of it are junk anyway, you know.
Well, let's talk about another survey that just came out about TV on your mobile phone. Have you guys seen that ad? What ad is Sprint?
Sprint. It's Sprint.
You know, where the Mulder
Sprint
type guy,
PCS guy,
shows this other guy watching his TV on his mobile phone. He says, oh, that's compelling television, watching a guy watching your TV on TV. but they say, this study says 125 million people, is this just in America, will probably be watching TV in the next 5 years on their cell phone. And you have something to say about that, do you, David?
No, yeah, not me. I won't be one of them. I will not.
Your eyes won't hold out that long.
No, it's too small a screen. I mean, my tablet PC is, as I was saying earlier, is even...
you got to have the big screen, right? You got to have the big 70-inch.
It's got to be bigger. I mean, that's one of the things I like about the Zinio. Getting back to the magazine thing is I can blow that text up as big as I want. I mean, I could see it across the room blowing it. Magazine, you still got to have it in front of your eyes.
Big is good.
The box. Bigger. Bring the box back.
The box. Okay. It had to make another visit
to the box.
He's cradling his box.
There's two things about this that I probably need to get clearer with the audience, and that's that streaming to mobile phones is one way that you're going to get video. The other way is through digital TV, which is more of a broadcast distribution. And that's what this story is really talking about, that the 125 million consumers will have access to watching television within the next 5 years, because there's a new computer chip that's coming out that will be integrated into the phone that will basically be like a broadcast receiver, digital radio, digital television broadcast receiver, that will actually enable you to tune into a certain selection of channels that will come in. And it'll be in fairly high-quality television, but you know, it gets back to like what you were saying. Are people going to consume television on such a small screen? And I think to a certain extent that will happen, but I'm a little dubious of it, because I also think that a cell phone, what is a cell phone used for? Audio communications, right? And I think that over the next couple of years, I think those cell phones are going to become stronger and stronger audio devices primarily. But people are going to start, I think, you know, 125 million is certainly possible. I'm just wondering if that's really the best use for that device.
Well, I'm boycotting all television anyway. Wednesday night, terrible thing happened Wednesday night.
What?
What happened?
One of the rockers fell. Constantine, they voted him off. What's wrong with America?
Right.
What is wrong with America?
He's talking about American Idol.
American what?
They voted out Constantine, one of the rockers.
Oh, sweetheart, I haven't watched that show for years, man.
Why did that happen?
Well, who knows? They got what they call him Scotty the Body. That guy that goes and strips on stage with Phil Collins in the air tonight, and he stays in somehow, and that other guy, Antley, where his dad came in from the Ukraine and was playing when he was a baby, playing the how did those guys stay in?
Constantine's number 32 on the Lycos Top 50. Searches.
I mean,
he's popular.
He mugs for the camera. He mugs for the camera. But it's still, I'm just saying, yeah. Oh, back to that.
Doesn't he have a rock band that has a really weird name about Betty?
Well, he left his band.
He
crossed over to the other side, and I think
sure he'll still land on his feet.
You're
That's usually
rocker,
what happens.
Yeah, I love rockers. I'm tired of hearing the Motown every week, you know, year on. There's nothing wrong with Motown sounds. I like Motown music. But if you listen to it every contestant every year, you begin to say, what about the Beatles? Why doesn't anybody look at the Beatles? They're one of the greatest bands of all time. They probably are the greatest band.
Sex Pistols. Man, we need to have some Sex Pistols on American Idol.
How about some AC/DC? Break out some Back in Black. You know, I mean, something, something going on. And with, at least with the rockers in the group, there was a diversity there.
Yeah.
We weren't getting the same kind of pop.
Oh, so what did he play?
And what did he
play? I don't know.
What did he sing?
Yeah, what rock song?
He didn't sing a rock song. Because it was 2004. I kind of gave up on music after 1990, to be honest with you. So. Prior to 1990, I could tell you about, but I cannot speak intelligently after 1990.
Yeah, I think
so when
that's
Duran
when
broke up.
That's basically when rap started was 1990, right? Something like
then
that.
Then it all went downhill.
Grunge,
yeah, the grunge thing. And,
oh, that's right, grunge rock. Know, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, well,
that,
you know, Nirvana
that all started here in Seattle.
Yes, Nirvana was okay. I don't want to bash him.
No, you better not. Not in this room. No.
Yeah. Hey, it's pretty much one last story here that we wanted to cover is there's rumors flying around, and a guy did a little bit of research here that the MSN search engine may be favoring websites that are hosted on the Windows web server.
Rock on, because we have a Windows web server. Mine gets put up to the top of the list, I'm not complaining.
Now, if this, in fact, is true, it could create quite a little, controversy for Microsoft here.
I mean, is there any proof of this? Just like more slamming of Microsoft that people do out there that I don't understand.
Well, there is a guy out there that's been doing some research on actually trying to do some research on how to optimize for the search engines, and basically saw some trends in his survey that showed that the MSN search engine was giving a preference from what he was seeing in the rankings to websites that were hosted on Windows boxes.
Well, it's trivial to which I noticed somebody had pointed out. It's a trivial for a programmer to alter the settings anyway that are returned. I mean, I can make my server say it's the PSP browser or whatever. I mean, it's very trivial from an administrator standpoint to make these. I don't mean to minimize the complex, but it really isn't that you can spoof your referring URL. There's things that you can do very simply. In fact, there's software out there to do it, anonymizers and different type of things. So you know, just because the server's returning. In fact, I was looking at Netcraft, which Netcraft analyzes a lot of different servers, and Netcraft was returning bogus stats about my server. We're not doing anything funky with the server thing. It just wasn't correctly identifying it.
Yeah.
So I you know, that would just imagine how brazen that would be of Microsoft to do that.
And it wouldn't even accomplish anything because, like you said, it could be spoofed.
It could be totally by accident, too. I mean, it may not have been something that they intentionally did, but it's just because it's the Microsoft platform that it maybe favors Microsoft's way of doing things.
Well, then Microsoft wants to beat Yahoo first and then Google because they got to take them in order. First, they got to get a hold of Yahoo to be able to get to Google. They think Google's the big one to beat to bullseye on, but Google's light years ahead of them as far as relevancy and finding results. I don't know what search engine do you use regularly?
Google.
Yeah, most people I speak to, that's the search engine they use because it's more relevant. So they should be focusing.
Well, it's also a habit too. It isn't that I've gone out there and really quantifiably checked to see if it's any better than.
Oh, I have. I have. Yeah. I've run lots of comparative studies
and
between Google.
And your choices?
Google, by far. I mean, I was speaking with one of the Yahoo people. He came to my blog. He said he wasn't on the search team, but he was aware of the search team. So I don't know what that means. But he seemed to be pretty knowledgeable about. And I was specifically giving examples of searches to show him, like Make You Go Home for One and My Name T David, which wasn't even coming up in Yahoo for any results related to any of my sites, like my business site tdscripts.com. It's been on the web since 1999.
It's been banned or whatever.
Yeah. Why is it not turning up on Yahoo when I put in my name? Why does Google? Of course,
well,
has
one.
It. Number one. But I put it into Yahoo, and Yahoo gives me everybody else, gives me some blog that mentioned my site, you know, a year and a half ago.
Well, what did he say about why that?
Well, he didn't really come back and address any of my specific searches. He did say, well, you know, maybe your name is common. No, T. David's not a common name.
No.
In fact, it's so uncommon, if you go do a search for T. David in Google, it thinks the name is supposed to be David. That's how uncommon Google still thinks it is. So, yeah, that's what they need to work on.
There's a wonky things going on with the search engines.
And they just had that MSN Search Champs where they were inviting people out, right? And they were flying. They flew the guy out from Australia that does the podcast network, Mick Stanzik.
Mm-hmm.
Or Stanek, I think that's how.
Yeah.
He was out there, and they – And I was saying to myself, okay, they're getting a lot of different people out here, but, you know, to come in and give them advice on this. But really, the advice they need to get is they need to figure out how to write an algorithm that can give relevant results. And I don't think they're still going off some quasi-keyword thing that just is not... You know, but it's far beyond my intelligence. I'm not being a programmer. I'm certainly not capable of writing an algorithm to compete with Google. I will freely admit that this is something that requires some, you know, super MIT, you know, geek status,
genius level kind of dude.
Level, huh? Yeah, they need to go somewhere to find those guys, recruit those guys, and put them in a room and give them all the money they want. Throw as much. You guys want money? You want to sleep in money? You want to drive with money in a bus? Give them whatever they need because they got the Microsoft has the money.
Oh yeah.
And pay those people whatever they need to pay them to come up with the algorithm that does what Sergey and Pay, you know, those guys did at Google. And then the game is on. Then the game is on. But until then.
Yeah, exactly.
Everybody's going to keep doing what they've been doing because – did you see the Google mural the guy from Google drew? It looks like a guy standing out almost, and there's stuff coming out of his arms. It's on their wall. He drew it. It's one of the Google people. And it almost looks like they're taking control of the world with like a wiki. It's an odd and almost eerie sight to see. But it's this guy like – who was the big – was that Michael – what was the guy who held his arms out like that?
Michael Jordan.
No, that was – well, you mean David.
David.
No.
I thought it was
– Adam?
I thought it was Michael Jordan. He holds two basketballs on each end.
Well, it might have been him,
too.
Or Michelangelo.
But it was an odd thing. You know what I mean? It was an odd thing.
Oh, where can we see this picture? Is this at the Google?
Google blog. You go to google.com. I believe it's google.com/Google blog.
Okay.
And you'll see this guy where they said he's a painter, and they said to him, hey, why don't you paint something on our wall? Because it's just a white wall. And he said, And then he, of course, any creative person, if you plant a seed in their head, guarantee they're going to act upon it at some point. And they planted the seed in his head. He came up with his drawing, and it looks when I saw it, I thought of Klaatu and the day the world. Klaatu was the the day the world. It's on the tip of my tongue. The black and white movie, and they came down and they were going to give us the 50s 60s movie there.
The day the world's. Stopped or something like that.
Klaatu was the big alien dude.
Yeah, I think I've seen that movie. It was like he was he looked like he was like stainless steel or something like that.
And they were going to do good
aluminum.
Things. We got scared and the panic, and that's what they said. The panic and the fear ruined us.
We cover so many bizarre things on this show, man.
Yeah, we do. Well, now there is one other thing that I've heard discussed online too, and it goes back a little bit to the whole MSN search thing a little bit, but and the Windows servers is that there's some people that have been saying that there is a difference between the level of quality of a website that's hosted on Windows servers versus websites that are hosted on Linux or Apache web servers. Most people are thinking that the better websites across the board, if you look at all websites, that the better quality websites, and it depends on how you quantify better, but are hosted on the Windows-based servers. And that could be why this whole MSN search thing may be skewing towards Windows operating systems. Yeah, I don't know if Linux has any less of a quality of website out there than like maybe a Windows operating system would have, but there's people that are feeling that the Windows-based server typically hosts better quality websites. And I don't know, T. David, what do you think about that? Do you think that that there may be better quality websites off of the Windows platform, or do you think there's better ones off of Linux?
Well, I don't like the word better, I guess. That's a subjective
word. Oh, it is, yeah.
I know that's not your word, but I would use the word. One thing about Windows servers is you can have ActiveX, and you can't have that on the Linux server. So there's a lot you can do with interactivity with ActiveX. So if you get a site where the guys heavily build a lot of components in there, for instance, the Channel 9, you can go there and ink. I can ink on my tablet PC right on their message board. Mm. That's very cool. Can't do that on a Linux server. not going to happen. There's no ActiveX. Mm-hmm. So if I was a tablet PC, a guy that wanted to ink on a message board, I'm going to say it's much better to be on a Windows server. But if I'm a high traffic guy, which is where I've noticed this in my business, a lot of high – and there are high traffic Windows media server. You go to Netcraft, and I think the number one site, I think, is a Windows-hosted site. But in my experience, a lot of the sites that I've seen, you know, 2 million, 3 million a day and up type sites, a lot of them are Apache Linux-based or not Microsoft-based. So that tells me – as you know, coming to that site, why did they choose that? What is there? There's got to be a reason they went with that. Was it because of scaling? Was it because of security?
Or is it because of cost?
What was exactly?
Well, and plus there is a lot of hidden costs in hosting your website on a Linux box. Mm-hmm. The actual operating system part is inexpensive to actually acquire compared to Microsoft, but to actually maintain it typically requires a lot of expertise that you have to pay big bucks for. I know I've run into that issue with clients that I've worked with that had their websites built on a Linux-based system, and they had to have it on Linux, but you had to pay somebody $200 an hour to work on it, where on a Windows box you could you could pay somebody $50 to work on it, or you know, or it's very easy to work on.
If they both have their pros and cons, I guess is the answer. Just like Mac. Mac has its. I mean, people, the Mac. There's pros and cons for every system, desktop system, every business. It is not so cut and dried that anybody can say better or worse for any of the three systems. Because the musician tonight earlier at the CompUSA is telling me how much he loved Mac for his band, and he showed me his guitar. He just had bought strings, and he was going on and on about how the Mac was the greatest system in the world, and I believe it was for him. For him, it was the greatest system in the world. It may not be the greatest system in the world for me or for you, but there are people out there that it is. And tablet PC, there's some people out there that the tablet PC is the bomb, and it's the best thing, you know, that they could be on. So I'm really careful. Also, you offend people, I guess, when you start using better and you put levels of – because now somebody on a Windows server thinks, well, am I a lesser website because I'm on a Windows hosted server? As opposed, you know, I'm very careful never to say better I'm very careful to watch that word because you don't want to offend somebody's – they chose – maybe they like it because of what you said. It's simplicity. They can work on it, and they like to use front page maybe to build their sites. I don't want to encroach on anybody and their convenience of how they work and what their but yeah, it's bogus to say better. And if anybody's out there saying that, then I think that's an argument. It's like the C++ battle, assembly. You know, I mean, the programmers have these battles all the time. PHP versus Perl. I mean, I don't get involved in those discussions. I just say, you know what? Whatever language comes out, if it's cool, I'm going to check it out. And if I can do something cool in it, I will. And I'm not going to get into which is better than this and which widget is better than that.
But really, when you back up and look at it from a higher level view, let's say you're a company that's evaluating which platform to be on, whether it be Linux or Windows. Most companies have a internal network that's probably Windows based, and so they've got the mindset already in place, or they may already have talent that's already within their organization that's used to the Windows system, and I think this discussion raises some interesting issues around that, and it also gets back to like I said, is a company better off being on the Windows system versus a Linux in the bigger picture of things for all the reasons that we've talked about, and I think it's an important discussion. And if the MSN search engine is indexing those type of servers better, then that's another advantage for that. And I'm fairly pro Microsoft. I'm not, you know, but I do have a Linux box that's running. WebTalkRadio.com is built on a Linux system that's running MySQL, and it's been a very good experience for me as well. But it's also difficult to work on. So there's a trade-off there.
My answer is, you know, and I'm platform agnostic.
Oh, I know you are.
I'm platform agnostic. So I'm my answer is they're all good. You know, they're all good and all have their strengths.
They all have their good parts and they have their weaknesses.
Sure.
And that's, I guess that's the bigger picture.
That's good. Hey, I'm going to dig into our email box here.
Yes.
Pull out one that we heard from a guy in Ireland, actually, Toby Allen. You want to read it?
Yeah. He said he came across our site through IT Conversations. I've started a series on IT Conversations called Web Talk. And I guess he's listened to about three or four of our shows. And I guess he listens to talk radio a lot over in Ireland. And he really enjoys our show since we just typically chat on our show, which is a little bit different than what I do at IT Conversations and what a lot of the other content on IT Conversations. And what he's doing is actually raising up a fascinating point, because what I've done by separating myself with the radio show, just like what we're doing right now with the conversation between Dana and T. David and myself, we're a little bit more of kind of just the natural flow of it, where you look over at what I'm doing at IT Conversation, it's a very structured, a little bit more technical, a little bit more statistics, very focused topic conversations that I have with just one person. And that's really what Doug Kay is looking for off his website, is really high-level discussions about very narrow niche topics that can get into a lot of detail and get into a lot of technical discussion. And that's just, you know, I enjoy doing that type of show as well. So so if you want to get more of a free form kind of discussion, then come to webtalkradio.com. If you want to get more technical discussion, go to IT Conversations. So I appreciate the email, Toby, and kind of pointing that out, because it's something I hadn't really talked about on the show.
Tony's web address, I guess now he's got a couple of there. It's jobsforcooks.com and also tuflidium.com, T-O-F-L-I-D-I-U-M.com.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Thanks,
Debbie. That's a software company in Ireland.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'll check it out.
Well, T. David, thank you for joining us in the studio again, coming out and spending, 2 hours with us again?
Now, tell us, we kind of alluded to your sites, the scripting site and your blog, but tell us all the places we can read more about what you're writing about, particularly about your opinions now on your experience buying the Tiger.
Well, yeah, that is going to be, I actually have a Mac blog, and it's my personal site, tdavids.com/Mac, so it's easy to remember, tdavids.com/Mac, and I will be writing about Tiger. I do have to go try to find a DVD. Yeah. I'd probably be writing a lot
that's
about
really
my,
a pain in the butt, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not over yet. I don't know where. They didn't have them at CompUSA, so I can't write any more about really CompUSA, probably. I'll be writing about Best Buy or somebody else, probably, to try to find how I can get something. But I will, you know, this is all good about sharing information, because there's going to be somebody else out there somewhere that's going to buy this and go home and go, I've got an eMac and it won't install because it's a DVD, because it's in real tiny letters, small here. That you see the words DVD in big print on there?
No place.
It's real tiny letters on the
really
side.
I don't know any software that comes on a DVD anyway, up till now.
DVD only right now.
Only, yeah.
It seems very, very... I don't know. Why don't they give us both, for that matter? Charge us another $5 and give us DVD and CD.
20 cents for a CD.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't... I mean, part of what I do, part of that is thing, and my regularly updated blog, of course, which we talked about, makeyougohmm.com. You can put the S in there.
Not three M's, though.
Not three M's.
That's not going
to
work.
Two M's.
You can make me buy that domain if you say it, though. And that's my regular updated one. But, you know, I want to thank you again. I have inconvenienced you guys. I was supposed to, you know, come out earlier, and you let me go get the Tiger, which was great.
Rawr.
Yeah.
You got the Tiger in your tank now.
I was grateful for that. And I, you know, again, I'm big fans. I ended the show last time by saying that, so I'll say the same thing again. I'm big fans. I was saying that earlier on my show today, in fact.
You're so nice.
So,
that's great. Well, thanks.
And I'm not just, I mean, if you've read my blog enough, you know that comments, when they come out at me, mean something, because I don't give them out very often.
Aww.
So, you know, I'm not trying to make it sound like I'm just a super cynical guy, but being on the web for the long time that I have and coming across so many different people, I am cynical. And I do look at things very cynically.
Oh, yeah.
And,
I understand.
When I find something and it's high quality, and obviously I'm looking at your equipment and the way you guys do things, and I don't even have pop filters on it. You can hear me doing the P's all the time. I mean, I'm nowhere near the way you guys have gone out with this and that. What you showed me earlier, which I won't talk about, but what you showed me earlier,
top secret.
It was very cool, Rob, and you were right when you said
mini
that.
Studio. That's what it was.
Very cool. You should sell those, definitely. Very definitely. But yep. Thank you for having
and
me.
We'll be talking about that more later, and I'll put a picture of it on my website eventually, so you can kind of get a high-level view. I won't get it real close, because you got to contact me about it. It's my own little secret formula for producing radio shows.
That's what I thought Adam Curry was going to come out with, something like that, because that's really what you – I mean, yeah, there's the software end of podcasting, but there's the hardware end too.
Well, you got to have good hardware in order to do it right.
Otherwise, you're doing like I was talking about last time. Your
no
mic,
fun unless it's hard.
Nothing like Dana to get us in the gutter quick. No. Yeah, well,
I still am waiting for a call back from Dick Winters, by the way. He will call me back. Dick Winters, if you're listening from CompUSA, I want a call back.
That's right.
Please.
Well, T. David, thanks again for coming in and spending so much time with us and sharing your vast knowledge of the internet and technology. And I hope all of our listeners go check out your blog and keep up with what you're talking about, because you got some interesting stuff on your blog.
Thank you. Thank you.
I bet you can't imagine what Pam Anderson and our new Pope have in common. And this is kind of interesting, but they have the hot factor over at Lycos, the search engine Lycos 50.
Right now we have on the line Dean Savalas, who's writer of the Lycos 50 at 50.lycos.com, that actually lists the 50 most searched phrases at Lycos. And he's going to tell us about some of the people and the hot topics that millions of people are searching for around the world. Dean, thank you for joining us on the show.
It's my pleasure, Rob. How are you today?
Doing fine. Now, how long has the Lycos 50 been around?
The thing about the Lycos 50 is that we were the first search engine to actually assemble a list like this. So we've been around for over 5 years. And what we do is we track the types of searches that people are making every day. We don't track the people. We just track the searches. And then we compile a list of the 50 most popular people, places, and things that folks are searching for online.
That's great. The Lycos 50 has become, I think, a very important gauge to kind of the flow of people doing searches online, and I think it's really kind of stood out over time. You know, what's fascinating about it is that some of the top searches are actually people. They're not really what I would call search terms or something like that. It seems like it's really has to do with our fascination with celebrities. Is that kind of what you're seeing too?
Well, I noticed that it tends to be very often we see a lot of the most popular celebrities coming out in the list. But it tends to be, I look at it more like the pop culture barometer, or what's on people's minds. What are people going to be talking about at the water cooler, the next day? For example, this week, the top two searches that were fighting neck and neck for the number one spot are Pam Anderson and the new Pope, Pope Benedict XVI.
Now there's a pair.
I mean, can you just imagine? Like, the fact is, Pam Anderson did come out on top, but only by a very slight percentage of searches.
Oh, so,
Dean, be careful there.
Oh, that's true. I'm sorry.
It's all right.
No. But it's truly, though, Pam just was a little bit ahead of the Pope in the amount of searches, and just week past him.
Now, what spiked her interest? I mean, is it that new sitcom that's out?
It is. She's in the new sitcom Stacked, but the reason why she ends up being so conscious, or everyone is aware of her right now, is she is in the very choice time slot of following American Idol or before American Idol.
Oh, okay.
And where does American Idol pop up? And I know that you've referenced one of the, Constantine, I guess, is number 32. He's kind of a hot topic right now.
He is definitely the American Idol, the show, is landed at right around number 8, which is up from the previous week. And I suspect it'll be up again next week as we get closer to the final few. Mm-hmm. Constantine definitely was the most searched American Idol the past couple weeks. And it will be very interesting to see what happens next week since he was voted off.
Now, this is interesting. You mentioned the Pope, and of course, I understand why he's very popular right now. But there's a sort of a subcategory related kind of search that's popular around this whole issue. What is that?
The fan club of the Pope?
That. Well, I was actually thinking of Nostradamus, too. But tell us about the fan club. I'm shocked that there was a fan club since 2000, and it's been popular.
Who would know? I never imagined that there would be a fan club for Cardinal Ratzinger back in 2000.
That's interesting.
The gentleman that actually created the site of the RatzingerFanClub.com is actually a converted Catholic, and he was sort of amazed at the comments that people were making after he came out with the doctrine, which was a very conservative Orthodox Catholic document. And he was amazed, this young 30-some-odd-year-old man, that he was being, the cardinal at this point was being called things like the Darth Vader of the Catholic Church. So he came forward with this fan club that has since grown. And after, I mean, I don't think he ever imagined he would be named Pope, but he was.
Mm.
And now it's received even more popularity, actually.
Oh, I know. I imagine. And Nostradamus is a popular one right now.
Yeah, and what's the connection with the Pope with that?
It's an amazing thing that happens, and we notice this at September after September 11th. People are searching for connections to events that happen in our lives, and when the new Pope was announced, and actually before the new Pope was announced, we saw this huge surge in searches for Nostradamus, and Nostradamus predicting the Pope, and what does Nostradamus know about the next few popes? And actually, it was amazing, that surge. And it is still continuing every day, the amount of searches connecting Nostradamus to the Pope and Nostradamus to Pope Benedict XVI. And, you know, who knew he was so prolific, Nostradamus?
Yeah, that's true. Well, now, why don't you look through the list, and what are you seeing as the fast-rising search term right now, or the fastest-rising search term?
Well, I would say, you know, we tend to look at sort of the ones that are growing from week to week. And I can tell you that a couple of the interesting movers and shakers, shall we say, one that was very popular is the Facebook.com. I don't know if you're familiar with
it. I'm not familiar.
No, I'm not.
That is a social network, a college social networking site.
Oh, okay.
As we come to the end of the school year, we find that more and more people are interested in the Facebook.com because they're looking, what the site does is if you had sort of a silent crush against, with the, you know, the girl next door in your class and you never had the courage to ask for her name, well, you could find out who she is by using the Facebook. And, it was just started a couple of years ago by some young guys at Harvard, and you have to have an EDU in your email to even be invited into the Facebook. And it's definitely a way for college graduates to network before they finish their year. And also, it's one of the biggest ways for them to date, actually.
Oh, that's wonderful. Oh, that's nice to hear.
It's one of those clubs that not everybody can get into. You have to be kind of a part of the whole education in college kind of thing.
That's right. It's strictly for college students that are currently in college, and it's basically more one of the more noble sort of goals is that you create great study groups from other people that are on the same topic as you, preparing for finals, and then it's also a great way to find out who that hottie is that you're going to
school. That's cool.
Now, that Facebook is what you call a mover and shaker, sort of shooting up the list, but how about just something that doesn't have to be the fastest growing, but something that caught your eye because it seemed to speak to you? Was there anything that turned you on this week?
You know, one of the things that I have seen lately, and I have written about it sort of off and on, is the fascination with crocheting. It is the hottest sort of activity that folks are looking for online when they're looking for free crochet patterns and interesting and unusual patterns. And I am amazed that after Martha Stewart got out of prison, she was wearing a crocheted poncho that had been made for her by an inmate. The next day online, searches for that poncho, that crochet pattern, were up over 250% in searches, actually in one day. And then over the course of the week, it was up 1,800%.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, what can you say about that?
The thing that's so amazing about this job, and one of the things that I love about it, is that you really get to see what's on people's minds.
Yeah, you do. Exactly.
Their fascinations are.
Oh, this is actually, you're right. I mean, it sounds trivial maybe, but it is interesting because I would never have known it. It's almost like you're sitting on a hotbed of nuclear secrets or something, the things you discover.
Absolutely. You know, the list, when you look through the list of the 50, it's everything from, you know, Pam Anderson and the Pope to the NFL to poker to American Idol to golf to the IRS and then different music artists. But what gets exciting are the things that are just bubbling up underneath that 50 and the ones that are growing and that are just sort of just capturing sort of a unique bit of public consciousness, and it hasn't really hit mainstream yet. And I think that's one of the neat things about this.
Are you aware of people in the media that, you know, maybe talking heads that come on, look at your Like Us 50 and then make a story out of it? Or do people contact you constantly for that kind of information?
We do. We have a real fortunate relationship with most of the mainstream media. And I do receive calls from this week, People Magazine, regarding an upcoming story that they're doing. We notice that USA Today tends to follow our column pretty pretty regularly and ends up doing feature stories on things that we sort of see. One of them, I think, that we were noticed the other day was Roller Girls. Do you remember in the 60s,
Boogie Nights?
70s, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Folks were roller skating and there was the roller derby.
Oh, yeah, I remember all that.
This is coming back?
It's coming back.
Oh, no.
It or not.
Very
it is,
scary.
It's hot again. I can't get over it. The amount of searches for roller derbies and roller girls and the different types of teams, it has really grown. Just in the course of the past 3 or 4 months, I've seen a huge jump in searches for everything to do with the roller girls and roller skating and the roller derby. It's pretty wild. And,
yeah,
and
interesting.
The names of the different roller leagues, it's pretty impressive.
Yeah, I also noticed that some of the search terms that keep coming up all the time are rather seasonal, too. So, I mean, if you look at Mother's Day, prom dresses, those kind of things, it seemed to be something I'm sure that you see come back every year.
Absolutely. We notice that as the seasons change, everything from a specific sporting event, like even the golf, the master, that'll make the list. Or taxes is now slowly starting to fall down off the list, taxes and also the IRS. They had reached, you know, in the past couple weeks, they'd been up in the top 10, and now they'll slowly start to drop. Spring break is another example of something seasonal that we see. Diets is a current seasonal term that we notice each year. Right after New Year's, we find lots of searches for different types of weight loss products that sort of crescendo to about this period. And now we will see them right after swimsuit season start to fade until the new year when everyone makes new resolutions to lose those 10 pounds.
Then on top of that, you've got a lot of sports stuff that pops up in the list as well.
Absolutely. Sports and sports research is a huge part of what people look to for the web. One of the things that, you know, we definitely see are everybody from Lance Armstrong had a big week this week in just search activity as he came forward and said he's going to retire after the next Tour de France. And so we see athletes coming up and down off the list very, very often. And Lance didn't happen to make the list this week, but he was definitely one of the athletes that was up 150% this week over last.
Uh-huh.
So you see everything from the major sports events to the Super Bowl to NFL to NBA. As things heat up in each of those sports, we see them reflecting on the Lycos 50 list.
Nadine, of course, Lycos 50 is a list, but you're a writer. You write a column, you have your blog, your web blog, that you sort of flesh out like you've just done here. Tell us about what you're going to be writing about now. What's the hot thing now?
So the hot thing that, you know, we're going to be writing about, I'm writing about for Monday, is something that's very interesting at the beginning of the week, which is new comedy albums. You know, I remember, believe it or not, I remember having the Cosby vinyl that he had done from one of his early Bill Cosby comedy shows. And sort of in the past, I would say in the 80s, I would say, or even in the 90s, most people thought that the comedy album was dead. Well, what has recently happened is this gentleman called Larry the Cable Guy has come out with his second actual comedy CD, which made it to, I believe, number 7 on the Billboard chart, which hasn't happened since the 70s.
Wow.
And it's sort of like speaking to the fact that these, you know, comedy albums are not dead, but they're pretty hot. And this whole genre of blue-collar comedy shows, which started with Jeff Foxworthy, who has the "you might be a redneck if" type of jokes, he's put together this comedy. Basically, he's put together a comedy tour called the Blue Collar Comedy Show. And the tour did so well, and one of the breakout stars was Larry the Cable Guy. And so we put together a list of the most popular comedians that have albums. However, one of the things that I think is so great is that the number one most popular artist is Weird Al Yankovic.
Of course.
Of course. And, you know, sometimes, though, you just wouldn't think about it because he's been around forever. Weird Al, you know, you don't think about necessarily. But there's two sort of interesting reasons why he's the most popular comedian this week. One is that there's a campaign to get him into, believe it or not, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
All right.
So that's one of the reasons that he's definitely being, there's some buzz about him going on. The other reason is Jeff Foxworthy, who I mentioned, has this connection to Weird Al that back when Jeff Foxworthy kind of evolved the whole idea of a comedy album because he felt that so many comedy artists, their audience was country listening audiences. So he was able to actually get his comedy albums placed in the country section in the CDs music stores. When that happened, he sort of was able to help launch his whole kind of comedy style and genre, and then he was doing a couple of these small little ditties that he would create that became very popular. And so there was this one called The Redneck Stomp, and it became sort of this surprise hit for Foxworthy. And he ended up, you know, it became so popular that he went to Weird Al to direct his video, which then, you know, went into heavy rotation on the Nashville network. So it's just great.
That's a great synergy.
Yeah, that's great. That's
man,
great.
I remember Weird Al from back in the Dr. Demento days. Oh, man, this is great. Well, tell us again where we can go find the Lycos Top 10 and the 50 Elite and your blog.
Sure. Basically, if you come to Lycos.com, that's L-Y-C-O-S.com, that's the front page where you can do your own searches. And there is a link and usually the first line of text from my column of the week. If you want to go directly to my column, you can go to 50.lycos.com, which is where every day there's a new column with the list. And then there's a link right on there, right under my face or the caricature of my face, where it's the link to my blog.
Excellent. And so, can we subscribe to that or an RSS feed, something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, you can actually. I know that we're actually just doing a new subscription for at least a weekly list that goes out to folks. So we will be doing that in the very near future.
So why don't you kind of fill us in on when the new lists usually come out?
So every week we come out with a new list on Tuesday. Tuesday is always the day with the new list of the top 50 most popular terms that are being searched for online. And every Tuesday, it's as good as church on Sunday. You can come by the Lycos 50 and you see what the top 50 most popular terms are being searched.
You know, I'm convinced, Dean, if we follow that and monitor it every Tuesday, there are riches to be made. I mean, there's going to be some hot mover and shaker that's going to somehow tie to the stock market. Someone's going to get rich off of your research.
I hope so. That'd be cool. And then I hope they tell me and keep me in the loop someday.
Pay me royalty. Pay you royalty. There you go. Dean, thank you for joining us on the show. It's great to speak with you.
My pleasure.
We've been speaking with Dean Savalas, who's the writer of the Lycos 50 at 50.lycos.com. So go check it out. He updates that 50 most searched phrases every Tuesday at 50.lycos.com.
Well, we've come to the end of another show. It's been quite a productive show. Lots of information we like to share. But we're always looking for input from you guys. So if you have some topics that you particularly find interesting, don't forget to come to the website, webtalkradio.com, and email us.
Yeah, it's good. Send us an email. My email is rob@webtalkradio.com, and Dana is at dana@webtalkradio.com. And thank you for letting us into your lives, and we look forward to having you listening in next week. So go check out our website, like Dana said, at webtalkradio.com, and we'll see you around the net.
Thank you for downloading the Web Talk Guys. Bookmark us now for next week. Same Web Talk Guys time, same Web Talk Guys channel.